What does this podcast say?
Gosh. Boy! Already.
Yep. Behold, a pod horse, and upon it, us! What's up? Hey, what's up? Hello. This is the Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast, brought to you by edgystances.com. That's us.
Hello.
That's us, boys. Hello, hello. Hey. Joined every week by the Eagle.
Hello, what's good? I'm here with my boy and my boys.
Boy. And, yeah, the eldest of the Crow. This is the Elder Crow.
Hello.
Also known as Brent. You should throw that in there.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Sometimes, yeah. You have about 7 different gamer tags, social tags going on for you, right?
Yeah.
In the outside.
It's a mess.
That's what's up.
It's a mess.
Hello, listeners out there. We like to gather every week and talk about our favorite hobby, which is gaming, which we hope is yours, too. This week is a big, big week. We are calling this Pod of War.
Hey.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, thanks. I'm calling it that, now they just found out, so yeah. Spoiler alert. Pod of War. Yeah, and of course, we always cover up some news that interests us over the course of the week and what we've been playing, which is Clear. A little bit of news to start off with. Well, I shouldn't say news. A little social media. What am I trying to say? Whatever. We got some more bird names for me, guys.
Thank
yes.
God. Yeah. I don't like any of them. But so let's go.
It's not up to you to choose your own nickname. It just happens, buddy. You just gotta
There's
let it happen.
There's good-looking birds here.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have to help me with the pronunciation because I'm having another Brigida conflict here. The first one is a Christmas Island bruschetta bird.
it just rolls off the tongue, so you know, easy.
Birds don't have tongues.
The Christmas Island frigate bird.
Frigate bird. I don't like that. That sounds like somebody's yelling at a bird.
Sounds like a boat with wings.
Oh, yeah. Frigate bird!
I mean, frigate was one of the best levels in 007 GoldenEye for the N64. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Save
okay,
those hostages.
So the next one we have is the secretary bird, which
this
is
a good looking
bird. You
don't
respect me. Yeah. It's absolutely clear that you do not respect me. But... And then my favorite of the week so far, thrown in at the last minute, the edgy owl, which is
with a slick underwing tattoo.
Alamus titimus is its titimus and dopamus is what it is called in Latin. That's not true. I don't know Latin. All right. Not at all. So yeah, keep sending in those bird names. I'm probably not going to like any of them. And while you're there, sign up for the Dark Souls competition, which is a contest, giveaway, whatever it is, which is still in full effect. Right, boys?
Oh, yeah.
I would definitely consider it a competition because you have to beat out everybody.
Let's call it a tournament.
With luck, yeah. I guess.
Let's call it a tournament. So, for right now, we have the elephant in the room, or I should say the deity in the room, but we're going to put that off a little bit for some headlines that kind of drew our attentions. First and foremost, gotta just get this out of the way, got some big news involving Xbox Addict and Total Biscuit.
Yeah, some real, like, sad news in the community this week. You know, long-time ambassador for Xbox, Xbox Addict, has passed away, so we just want to send some, you know, good thoughts their way to his family and friends. And Total Biscuit, another like great pillar in our community, has, you know, come down with some, you know, pretty bad cancer, so we want to send some good vibes his way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Keep your head up from the edgy stances, guys. So yes, their contributions are amazing and hope they see it through. So getting right into it, we'll say this, PS4 isn't confirmed just yet. We haven't gotten that news, but the games with gold are about to roll over for the Xbox.
Ooh, early one this month. We already found out. That's crazy.
Yeah, the only one that takes my attention away from my constant Googling of Shenmue's 1, 2, and 3 is Super Mega Baseball 2.
Right.
You big Super Mega Baseball fan over there?
Only Mega Baseball. I find regular baseball too boring.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a big fan of the super mega acrobatic baseball, but you know, switched over to Rocket League.
Well, you know, they wear casual headbands and fingerless gloves and stuff, and you know, it's just
See, I thought you'd be really excited over Metal Gear, but I guess you're going Super Mega Baseball.
Well, that's what's next, Xbox users. With gold, you're getting Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. Man, we do not have enough praises for this game. I think we covered it when it went we covered it on its own. Yeah, we talked about it more when it was free for PlayStation.
Yep.
PSN, you're killing it with your free games lately, by the way. Now, Mad Max is okay.
Now, boys, but can we huddle up real quick?
Sure.
So, oh, just hit the mic. Sorry.
All right. Continue. Bring it in tight. So, I got a question.
Okay.
So, Metal Gear Solid 5 is free on Xbox this month.
Yeah.
Now, it was free on PlayStation pretty recently, right?
Oh, yeah. Like a couple months ago.
Are they trying to tell us something?
I think they might be.
Do you think they dare do one after Metal Gear Survive?
God, you guys, your breath is bad.
I really hope they don't.
Do you think? Like, I just find it interesting that like Metal Gear 5 like has been free on both PlayStation and like Xbox.
Yeah, totally. Like when I saw this, I instantly thought that like what's going on here? Something's about to drop. They're trying to tell us something.
Well, because like these services have been used, you know, very frequently in the past to kind of generate hype for something, you know, coming soon.
Sure, totally. No, that's the first thing I thought as well. I'm just excited that it's been free twice on both consoles. Because I mean,
really
people need to play this game. It's so good.
I would be going against my own logic to disagree with you, because the fanboy in me was saying a month ago with Bloodborne being free, oh, because they're going to do something this year. That's what it is. So for me to say that I don't think Konami's up to anything by giving this game out kind of contradicts that. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. I do know they have a lot of drama going on lately, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Survive 2.
Survive this.
So good.
Yep. The Xbox 360 still for a little while longer. I think PS4 is stopping their PS3 games with
next year.
But 360 is still going strong with Streets of Rage and a cult classic, Vanquish.
Yeah, Vanquish just got some like remastered treatment, I think, recently too. Mm-hmm. Some work done.
Yeah. So if you're into some power sliding and everything made of metal and a gun, get that for free. Vanquish is all right, but yeah, it's got a pretty feverish following.
Get the knee pads sharpened up.
This one's from one of our listeners at home. We're just talking about Konami. One thing that they just lost was their license with the UEFA for the support with it with their Pro Evolution Soccer line. Now, they've been teamed with them for about 10 years. And UEFA is a big name for the footballer fans out there.
Well, because this was like really the only competitor for FIFA out there.
Yeah, and having this license, having this partnership actually makes them a contender because, you know, the English Premier League is pretty getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But
yeah,
the UEFA is kind of like what it was for a while. And they had their own games going on. I remember back in the 20-aughts, you know, you had your FIFA games, then you had your Road to the World Cup games, which are the official UEFA games and such. But Konami says they're going to continue with Pro Evolution Soccer, but of course they're going to lose a lot of those, you know, proper names for their tournaments and all that. That kind of gave them so much power in their offering up against FIFA.
So is it going to be one of those things where they're playing in, like, the Shark Stadium for the Leopard Cup?
Who knows with Konami? Man, it could be zombies and tower defense.
Do it.
Oh, dude, Pez Survive?
Pez survives. Pez Pachinko.
100 soccer players drop into a stadium.
Indeed. Pro Evolution Soccer fans out there, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do? FIFA, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I hear lots of good things about their it's the journey for the for the FIFA line. I get the FIFA line and the NBA line that they make. The single-person campaigns is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
There's, like, the one, and then there's the journey, and I get those kind of flip-flopped. But that single-player campaign is really popular with the FIFA players.
Yeah, and I know their Ultimate Team is as well. Like, that kind of card game is a lot of fun. I enjoyed the structure of the Madden one, and I think it's pretty similar.
So UEFA is going to go somewhere. So either something's going to suck or it's going to get better. as far as the soccer game out there, because I truly feel that, and I'm a big bad businessman with my big bad briefcase because I know these things. I just feel like, you know, people, if UEFA isn't messing with anybody anymore, somebody else is going to want to buy those licenses up.
Yeah.
And they're going to be in another game.
Sure.
But, yeah. Good luck. Good luck, Mr. Wayne. You should go outside. Kick it around a little bit. A little bit more notes. Detroit becomes human.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally
Detroit
became
become
human.
When? Question mark? Yeah.
Slowly evolving over time. But city has
There's
finally
been a bumpy
become
road
human.
For them, too, in the social space. But their demo comes out as the time we're recording tomorrow, which I believe is the 24th.
So this was the one from Quantic Dream with the real controversial trailer of domestic abuse robots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. And I don't think any of that press would be floating around if maybe they just chose a different,
It was a strong scene to show, I think.
Yeah, it's just my opinion, but, I mean, it's also my opinion podcast. So, like, maybe you should let people experience that in their homes on their own to have that weight, you know, that narrative weight, and not put that out as the video, as, like, the demo. You know, you want to get the action out there and stuff, but... Who knows? We'll see how it goes.
Well, so either you guys interested in the demo? I, for one, am not too interested.
No, not at all.
I'm gonna play it, but that's just because I
feel obligated.
No.
Okay.
It's too much curiosity at this point. I just want to see what they.
I hear you. You just want to tell an Android what to do once or twice.
Okay, so that's the show. I'm going to go to my therapist. I've been completely disarmed by my co-hosts.
You've seen iRobot. You know what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Who's seen it 100 times? You've seen Gundam. Come on. But yeah, as with everything, if you check out this demo, holler at us.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, people's thoughts on it. I'm very curious about it. I just don't think it's something for me.
No.
I just want to see if this is going to be like a fire or the next best thing. That's the only reason why I'm going to look at the demo.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm probably going to
I just can't look away.
Watch this game a little more than I play it.
Sure.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. So some big news that just hit 2 days ago, as I believe. This is actually some really big news, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because of what may be under the surface. So Campo Santo, those guys that and gals that you know that we love here through Firewatch and our excitements for In the Valley of Gods, Valve purchased them.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Yep. Old Valve. There we go. To be a little bit clear, I do recommend everybody just go into their website and look at the blog post. It's also up on the Campo Santo Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Read up, and a lot of the comments are just kind of like, you know, scared. You know, the what's that emoji where the smiley face is screaming and looks like that famous painting of screaming,
just the melting face. Yeah,
I saw a lot of those, but in the actual blog post, they I wish I could credit an author, but it's just on Campo Santo. It just makes it sound like Valve was really into games, heady games that they do, and I am paraphrasing. Please read it for yourself. That they're really into heady games in the same way, and I can agree with that, having played a good amount of Valve games as well. And I don't want to paraphrase too much, but it sounds like they want to make games, and they don't want to worry about the hustle as much to make those games and get them out. So they make it seem like they're going somewhere where they're going to be given a lot of freedom and then a lot more ability to just start pumping out those games, which to me is good news.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, Valve is huge, and what, a month ago? When Gabe gave that interview saying, you know, they're getting back into making games and this and that. So, I mean, I view it as a good thing. Jacob, I think you said you saw a funny tweet or something. Someone says,
so
Campo Santo will never make a third game or something along that.
Yeah. I can't say without laughing. Yeah. Do it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was from a joke Twitter account, Porygon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, yeah, he said they were only purchased so they'd never make a third game again.
Yeah. That's horrible. That's horrible.
But, yeah, my thing is, you know, so, you know, Valve has said recently that they're, you know, going to start shipping games again. And, you know, they've got Artifact, their Dota card game, you know, coming soon. You know, they've been really into tech and hardware recently, you know, with their rise and success of Steam and, you know, their VR platforms. You know, I wonder if Campo Santo has some sort of tech or, you know, some sort of, you know, solution to these problems.
Like figured out a new way or different way to do things?
Yeah,
like
because
within the type of games they're making?
Because like you said, they're a pretty small developer. You know, they've been, you know, indie for a while. You know, Firewatch was great. You know, it's a pretty small experience. And, you know, they said
12 people is what I believe I read.
Yeah. You know, their podcasts are great. I've listened to those, you know, the Idle Thumbs. And they do another one that I can't think of the name of right now. But yeah, I just find it really interesting. Like, the acquisition is weird. I don't think Valve is known for buying up these little indie studios.
No, not at all. But yeah, that's actually a really good thought. That what do they have that Valve really wanted?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's pretty big news. It's great news for Campo Santo,
yeah,
as long as we get in the Valley of Gods. But like I was saying, it's that beneath the surface kind of things that, like, what are these guys up to? Mm-hmm. And it better be Portal 3.
I just wonder if it's like kind of a you know, the first of many to come. You know, if Valve's going to start grabbing up these studios.
You know, it just popped into my mind, and it didn't make it into my notes. What was this I was reading about? Maybe not a remaster, but like a re-release cleaning up a Portal 2?
Well, so I think it's getting
by super surprise
an
that.
HDR update.
Gotcha. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So, yeah, Campo Santo, good luck to you.
Yeah, salute. Absolutely. Congrats.
Yeah, hope it works out for you. what do we have next here? Oh, the new Kingdom Hearts trailer was released. All right.
What do you guys think?
I'm not really into Kingdom Hearts to begin with, but
yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not a fantastic game.
Yeah,
I mean it's got a rabid following. Not to be confused with the Ubisoft game.
Dude, the crossover's coming. Kingdom Hearts Rabbids, Kingdom Battle.
Sora now has buck teeth and rabbit ears.
But so yeah, they showed off a new trailer, really kind of focusing on what seems to be mini games or
Classic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, in this new trailer, which was not very long and didn't show very much as far as actual gameplay, but there are a couple scenes in there that may be exciting to hardcore Kingdom Hearts fans. But to start off with, yeah, it's this whole Game & Watch vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I read that there's supposed to be 23 of these within the game. I don't know how it's structured, though. Just read that there are 23 of them, and they kind of mimic that whole, what is it, like LCD gaming?
Like,
Am I using the right term? Like, with those horrible, horrible noises?
I don't think it was LCD. I think it was, like, just that black and white kind of, like, 10 characters across the screen, and, like, only the ones are lit up that you're using.
They just waved torches in the air, right? And it made pretty shapes back then.
It's like the Tiger Electronics, like, handheld games.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so
looks like an alarm clock, you know.
That being said, we do see the whole, oh, what do they call it? The station terminal city, whatever it is, the main hub, looking completely revamped. And if I see in the background there, I see some people chilling. So maybe you got some folks walking around in this map, and just that's more for the immersion for fans than Kingdom Hearts already has in spades to suck you into its story.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it looks pretty exciting.
Yeah, I just wonder when this game is going to come out.
I didn't see any dates.
No.
When I was looking at the trailer and reading up on it.
2025, 2026, maybe.
Oh, man.
Before or after Resident Evil 7? What do you think?
I mean,
Resident Evil 7.
Disney might not even be about Mickey Mouse by then.
Final Fantasy 7.
With all
7.
The Star War and all the Marvel War and all the Infinity War. Disney's kind of taking a dark face lately.
It's real.
A little bit. So, dark time. Speaking of that for Hanzo users in Overwatch, it had been talked about for the past couple months about some changes being made to the Hanzo character. And it's
Hanzo.
Finally been done. Hanzo.
Hanzo check. Hanzo. Let me see your Hanzos.
He's so handsome. Anyway. So, if you're familiar with Overwatch, then you're probably familiar with the scatter shot, whether you're on the business end of it or the laughing end of it.
Boom.
And this thing works like a Halo 2 rocket. where you
simple
just
geometry,
fire it at the,
okay?
Simple geometry. You just shoot it anywhere. I'm just playing. You don't shoot it anywhere. You shoot it at the feet is the trick that I've learned, and it just wrecks.
Yeah, it's the new meta. Wrecks. Just right at the feet so the enemy takes all the arrows. But yes, so after months and months and months of outcry from the community to do something about it, they've finally implemented a change on the PTR called the Storm Arrow, which... Yeah, dude, cast lightning.
That's my thunder noise. Yeah. God, that probably sounds awful in headphones. I'm sorry. Everybody out there.
But so, yeah, the Storm Arrow is now like six arrows, kind of like a repeating fire, rapid fire thing. Which,
but they're all shot at full power.
Yes. So, like, it kind of takes out the luck and, no skill trash ability of the scatter arrow into you being able to, like... It still forces you to hit a target, with some precision. So,
and only one of them. So to be pure DPS and do your dives with Hanzo, depending on how you play, you can go in there, get your work done on one character with one shot potentially. So with the Storm Arrow, I see Hanzo being much more occupied having to track singular characters to make really good use of the Storm Arrow. But that's just my first impressions. I don't play on PC, so I don't get to try the test runs.
Yeah, and they also gave him a lunge that you can kind of do in air.
Much like, is it like old Genji?
I think more like McCree, kind of like a sidestep roll lunge like type of move.
Okay, so he gained an ability.
Yeah, they reworked it a little bit. You can do it, I believe, while he's in the air. So like you jump or you're falling.
Yeah, so normally they try and keep it pretty balanced, three or four talents per player, and if they have more, then they're usually very tuned. So Hanzo all out getting a whole new move.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm curious to see how it shakes things up a little bit. The scatter shot is kind of no fun when you just get one shot with that, so
you can't fight back, man.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, but it seems like a good change. I'm curious to see it, and I'm also curious to see the new map Rialto that's in the PTR as well.
Yep, that's the map that they're currently using for the Retribution single-player event, right? Well, not single-player, but I should not say... Non-PvP, PvE event. There we go.
Yes, yeah.
There's my brain. It's clicked on. There we go.
It's a little bit reworked, but yeah, that's the setting, and you kind of push a payload through that. Seems cool. People are complaining kind of about the end being tilted toward the defense and the start being tilted towards the attack teams. But, that's why it's in testing, so... I'm sure they'll swap things around a little bit to make it more balanced.
Yep. Hope so, too. I've been spending more time on Halo 5 lately. I'll probably jump in over on Overwatch, check it out, if it actually makes it out, because they don't actually stay with those new decisions all the time.
Not every time. Testing. These seem like decisions that are definitely coming through the pipeline, whether we like it or not. So.
Yeah, but people have been groveling about his... scattershot for a while.
Yeah, it's awesome to see a change. Like, it's just cool to see them listen and, tune it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So Monster Hunter got a new monster.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Solid Gold.
I haven't been back on it in a minute.
Yeah, like you were saying, I feel bad as well. Like, I dumped a lot of time into it, though. Like, I have a lot of hours in Monster Hunter. But, yeah, man, I haven't played since... Devil Joe?
Does anybody feel like, and this goes for like Far Cry 5 as well, after starting up God of War, which we will get into.
Boys!
boys! What does this rune say? Anyway, doesn't it just make these games feel like they're like months ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it feels like a very long time. It's been completely overshadowed. But yeah, Monster Hunter Capcom still going strong for its fans, releasing some new content. I'm going to check that out so I have more to say about it in the next week.
Yeah, the cool Tarroth, or like however you say that.
I'm not even trying.
Okay.
I couldn't get Frigate Bird. I still feel like I'm insulting something. I feel like I'm saying something very negative. but yeah, Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Get it.
Well, so... real quick, I wanted to talk a little bit about Black Ops 4, because we had some news over the week that was
yeah
kind of interesting. So some reports came out from, I believe, Jason Schreier and, you know, the folks over at Polygon and Game Informer. Like, a lot of different reports started to come out around the same time. So, but it seems as though Black Ops 4 is not going to have a campaign at all at launch. But
why?
It might have a battle royale.
Hmm.
I'm not asking you why. I'm just saying that it... Wait, so they're saying they don't want a single-player campaign, but they're opting for a battle royale.
Yeah, so in the reports and leaks, it seems as though the campaign was planned, but might have not come together at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite sure if it's just not going to be ready at launch and coming later, or if they've just scrapped it all together.
2018, the year of, if you don't know what to do, just throw a battle royale in there.
Dude, I'm saying, I don't want to sound negative about it, but like, this is kind of the name of the game for the Call of Duty developers. Like, three different houses in like 3 years. How long is it, Eagle, for their cycle? 3 years, 4 years per game?
Yeah, after they brought in Sledgehammer, they've moved to a 3 year cycle instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so they have, you know, they've had 3 years, you know, to develop this. But, you know, if you're trying to shake things up, which Call of Duty has definitely been, you know, they missed with the Infinite Warfare. You know, it seems like World War II did okay.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what Black Ops 4 is going to, like, the setting is going to be. You know, they said their reveal is going to be May 17th. So we're going to see, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, a little bit less than a month.
But, you know, like we said before, or, you know, at least I have showed interest that, like, a huge AAA developer like, you know, Treyarch tackling a battle royale, you know, seems really interesting to me. You know, the questions I have revolve more around Call of Duty's, you know, notorious game modes being small. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a Call of Duty lobby more than maybe 12 people.
Even in Black Ops 3, your character takes up, to me, and I'm not a Call of Duty player, feel as though, like, the world is smaller, more closed in, as opposed to being in wide open areas. That's the feel. Like, characters look bigger on the screen. Walls
what,
are
like,
more
what is
imposing.
Call of Duty multiplayer without the three-lane maps? You know, like, they're small, three-laned, tight twitch shooting.
Yeah, like, when I think of, like, a Call of Duty battle royale, I think of, like, Warface. It's like that battle royale.
I'm sorry.
No, I know.
Give us a good one.
Warface.
Give us Warface. God of Warface.
But, you know, like,
Boyface.
Those matches only lasted like maybe 5 minutes. So
yeah.
But that got really old really quickly.
In Call of Duty, you shoot somebody twice in the foot and once in the butt, and they're dead.
Yeah.
It's about getting there faster. It's not. To me, it doesn't feel about being better at shooting. It's just, like, knowing the map and getting there first is kind of what
like, I feel like, just like you said, the time to kill in Call of Duty is so low that a battle royale is going to feel really frustrating if it follows the same rules as a lot of the current ones.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what you called, though, in the sense that, like, a big-time, big-money, you know, developer doing a battle royale mode, you know, because this might be a kind of a crazy analogy, but, like, you know, DayZ to zombie movies.
Yeah.
You know, what that was. And
I'm just really, really curious deep down if Battle Royale was the plan or if that's the pivot because the campaign didn't flesh out.
Right.
Well, I mean, how important... these are the questions that need to be answered. How important are the campaigns to Call of Duty players?
Aha! You know?
It's a rhetorical question.
I have answers.
Somebody's going to answer that.
I've got so many answers.
All right, with all this Battle Royale talk, it looks like we've kind of painted ourselves into a bit of a Battle Royale corner, boys.
Get your sweaters out.
Let me get my soundboard. Press this button.
Sitting
Battle
in my
Royale
leather
corner.
Chair. So what's up in the world of Battle Royale?
Oh, man, a lot of corners, man. They make a room. But anyway... Actually, I have a lot going on with some news that I read, and Brent will be in here with this info on this. I read that they're adding some caves to Savage.
Yeah, we talked about this briefly. I don't really know how I feel about this because the map's so small in and of itself, but like the pace of it, in my opinion, is really well. It speeds PUBG up in a good way. I just don't really know, like, if this is going to – how much they're going to add. Like, is it going to double the map size? Or just, like, a secondary cave system that you can, yeah. I don't know, just get better flanks on people?
Like, my in my mind, I see it kind of like the shelter on Arengale. Like,
right. Yeah,
it's some underground rooms.
I mean, basically what I've taken from what they've said, and it's just hints, it's supposed to be actually based on a cave system in Thailand. I'm going to try it. Praya Nakhon.
Nailed it.
Nakhon.
Got it.
Nailed it. Got it. I'm cultured. Cave, which is an actual cave system. And I guess it's supposed to be kind of like a... I'm just assuming it's supposed to be like a... like the catacombs in Paris, like an underground type of network. And you can come out at various points. They say there are various places to escape. And you can parachute right into it.
Yeah, yeah. They shared a little screenshot. He's very much parachuting into that cave.
Yeah. Also, along with this, I mean, and I know the caves are a big news. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know how you're going to handle circle issues. Like, if somebody is somebody in the circle above ground, or are they in the circle underground? Do you have to leave the circle and go into the storm, Brent?
Not storm.
Brent, are you going in the storm?
No. It's not Fortnite.
I've been chipping away at him, calling it a storm. But, like, do you have to leave the circle to find a proper entrance to get to the another level?
Potentially.
So many questions, not enough answers.
Oh, my gosh.
Along with this, they've also said they're releasing new weapons and vehicles.
Ooh.
Is that new assets that they've created or just things that haven't been there already?
Yeah. So
or in the game already, but added to this map.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. Like,
new to the game altogether.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, is it going to be on every map then, or is it just specific to Savage? That's what I'm curious about.
Everything I've read has just been about Savage.
Yeah, because they kind of did that for Miramar. They added kind of desert-specific...
yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yes. But they've added, like, you know, like the Winchester and sawed-off shotgun are specific to that.
The revolver, yeah, and they're only in Burma. So I'm curious to see if it's going to
be ruby the size of a grapefruit.
What do you think Burma. They would add to Savage? What would you want to see?
Like zip lines, ATVs.
Remote guided rockets. Maybe that's Ball why pit. Fortnite took him out. They had to give him to Savage.
John Wick.
I'm John Wick.
I'm John Wick. Man, Havoc devs, shout out, man. Woo! Sorry, Brent.
I think a P90 would be dope.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, with a 5.7 and some night vision goggles, and I'm set. So, Metal Rain, all in my brain.
Yeah.
Metal Rain.
So, PUBG is going strong with the weekly events. And this weekend, we got Metal Rain, which was another 8-man squad game plus flares. But the cool thing about this, so before in PUBG's flare event, if you found a flare, you had to be inside of the circle to shoot it off, or at least the next circle, like the white, not in between the white and the blue circles. So
you got your little crate delivered to you.
Yeah, so you'd shoot it up, and then a crate would come down containing, just various guns, armor, things like that. In this one, you could shoot it up outside of the circle, and it would drop you a armored UAS, like really heavily armored.
This thing was crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it was like
it was
any rocking faster.
Rocking like some shutter shades and everything.
Yeah, dude, you're all closed in, which was nice,
just
I guess.
Batman tumbler.
I wish it was, like, faster. I don't know. Just
some NOS or something?
Yeah, yeah. Have a boost.
Oh, the vehicle itself or its delivery to you?
Just the vehicle itself. Yeah.
Gotcha. It seemed pretty cool. Like, just this rolling tank that you can kind of just roll up on somebody and, you know, take your time because they couldn't blow it up.
Just rain metal on them.
I wonder if anyone won with that. Just drop that in and only just drive around with that. Kill run everybody over, win that way. That'd be hilarious.
I want to see some of these streamers we love trying this game type out.
Yeah.
Can't wait to watch some of that stuff. So, Eagle, you spent some time with Radical Heights. How are you?
It's pretty radical.
Yeah?
It's pretty loud.
It's pretty spin to winnie.
Here you go. Brett, you played this one too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to Best Carry Alive letting me try out Radical Heights with him.
Wait, that's PC, right?
It is.
Yeah. So were you all like AWSD or whatever it is? It's like another language.
Sounds like one of Brent's gamer tags. But yeah, so it was on PC. I'm terrible with mouse and keyboard, so like that was half of my struggle with the game.
Yeah.
But I like some of the ideas. Some of it's really cool. It is very early, like very early. This is definitely one of those games where I don't think I'm interested in playing it until it gets a little bit like further into its development. But I like the bike stuff. I think that's like an interesting way to do transportation. And, you know, they do these cool bike races in the middle of the match. And like, I like the idea that, you know, Fortnite has done it as well, of kind of like these goals and missions in the middle of the match, which I think just kind of spice up the Battle Royale format.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had some major like gripes with how loud everything is, like the amount of stuff they put on your screen. You know, but there's some cool stuff there. Like, I like the trampolines and like the shooting feels pretty good.
Yep. Did you use your aim down sight at all, or did you take my advice and not do that?
Yeah, no, I only did it to check it out, and yeah, it's fairly worthless at this point. Like, third person's the way to go.
Yeah, I'm just.
What makes it so bad?
It's impossible to aim, man. You're so much more efficient with third person aiming.
Yeah, it just doesn't give you any advantage with like zoom or precision, it seems.
Yeah, which is strange because like I don't understand why they put it in there.
Like, some of the sniper rifles had scopes, which were useful, but
right,
like,
yeah, that makes sense. But like iron sights on guns, it's worthless.
Yeah, you might as well stay in third person.
Gotcha. A little bit more news. Fortnite's 50v50 okay, is back, and a little bit different. This is 50v50 version 2.
Oh yeah.
And this was pretty cool. Oh yeah, bud. So if you're a Fortnite player, so Brent, listen up. This two teams of 50 versus each other, and the hook on this is there are two battle buses.
Two bus.
So is that a bus per team?
Yes.
Yep. Pretty much. You can land anywhere. On the map, they have a line across, you know, down the halfway point, so you kind of keep your bearings as to, you know, if you're too deep. But, yeah, you jump from your own plane. They let you know where the circle is going to be right off the bat.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the other hook, is there's not the random circle elements, you know, getting smaller and smaller. There's just the one final circle marked on the map when you start.
Hmm.
So you have, like, what is it, like 7 minutes or something to make it there?
Pretty much, yeah. And every tree, everything you take out on the way gives you, what, like 100 material?
Yeah, the loot is way up. The ammo's way up. The resource gathering is way up.
And what a spectacle, too. By 20 minutes in, you can start to see just giant bases just growing. And just fields covered with ramps and just wrecked buildings everywhere. It is fun.
Like, the idea of having the final circle marked is neat. You know, it kind of drove some of the players on the teams to just kind of go there off the jump and just start building, you know, the first few minutes of the game. So, you know, by the time the storm rolls in, you know, the opposing bases are huge.
Yeah. And people's ability to organize themselves, even amongst strangers, is fascinating.
Oh, it really is.
It's astounding. Like, I saw some really cool stuff being built up there. Also, the guided rockets are gone.
Gone.
R.I.P.
Pulled them out.
Yeah.
Being added to Fortnite, or being added to PUBG. Coming soon.
Hey.
Coming soon. Along with the storm. So, yeah. Fortnite, 50v50. Not sure how much longer that goes. I was on it this past weekend, so I'm guessing another week, but you never know.
It's cool.
A little bit more information for you in the future. And that's the Battle Royale corner. Man, these guys are coming out with this every single week. It's almost like it's a bit.
It's an arms race, man. Yeah. Like, they're just trying to one-up each other.
Totally.
Oh, man, boys. The time has come. That's all I have for as far as headlines and such. Can we do this?
Boy. Let's do it.
Some boys. All right, so this past week on 420, you had a couple choices. You can only buy God of War, pretty much.
Yeah.
Got to start with that. I mean, yeah, the cat's in the cradle with the labo and all that fun stuff.
Labo.
Real quick, did y'all read that article about the person that ordered the labo delivered and the mailman left it out in the rain, so the whole box got soaked through?
Oh, no.
And then the box inside got soaked through.
Oh, no. I shouldn't laugh at that, but that's just funny.
Yeah. Anyway. So no matter how you spent your 420 with God of War, Nintendo Labo, or Super Troopers 2, which I have not gone to see yet.
Yeah, you listen to me. I would love to.
Yeah. We went God of War, where we joined Cheetos on his never-ending quest for moisturizer.
Cheetos?
Oh, Kratos, I'm sorry. Oh. must have been my autocorrect.
Yeah. Dad around.
Oh, man, yeah. It's a weekend with Dad of War for sure. Where do we start, man? I'll start. This game is refreshing as heck.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I'll go further. Like a refreshing axe handle thrust into the troll of the, I hate to say, mundane. I'll say that.
God of War. Good-looking axe.
It's a good looking beard.
Completely destroyed and stepped on the heads of my personal gaming woes as of late. I'll say that. I've been looking for like a solo experience, you know, and not only does this one provide that, but it reads like a book, man. It's like hours go by before you come up for air.
Oh, seriously.
It's like it's really like you know, if you're watching a movie and there's a really tense scene and you just like can't move. It's like that. But it never ends. You know,
yeah.
You know, they made a big deal about the camera never cutting. And, you know, after playing the game, like, yeah, it's a big deal. It works really well.
Totally.
Yeah. And they don't hit you with, I mean, I'm not done with it. I see a few folks have actually platinumed this game, which is beyond me. And we're going to find out how here in a couple minutes, how I find it impossible to platinum this game. But, I don't know, man. Like I said, it's just they take important parts of a story and just put those in front of you. And instead of trying to impress you with the big open world and all these, and my comments are biased because that's all it's been lately is these open world games, which, you know, you can start to feel the boat get a little shaky there, you know, with my patience for them. And this kind of handles it in the way that I like a lot, like I've talked about before with the Tomb Raider games, how it's little cells, little mini worlds that are kind of connected together.
Yeah.
And you have these spaces to work with, and then you progress to the next.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to. And everything is just packed with something to look at.
Yeah. It's it reminded me a lot of Breath of the Wild in a weird way. And it, like the whole like ooh shiny mentality. Like you mm-hmm. see something, it draws you around the corner, and then you're on like a side puzzle. You know, it's a very different, but there's a lot of similar design mechanics. Like even in the first couple levels, you know, they do that to you. They kind of breadcrumb you, you know, off the beaten path to find cool stuff. And, you know, the really cool thing about the game is the way they can play with spectacle and, you know, the world design to where, you know, you get really big payoffs for looking around the corner.
Mm-hmm. It's strange how it's basically a linear game, but it feels like you're exploring everything at the same exact time.
I totally agree with you because I've talked a lot of S in the past about, you know, this is basically just a hallway, you know, but with this approach, you know, those hallways can be used correctly to, even though they're not necessarily a challenge, what you would call a game, they help with your immersion. They put you in the world by giving you all this stuff to look at, even though it is a little linear. But you still feel like the world is bigger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not just waiting to get to the other end of this hallway, this metaphysical hallway.
Well, the sense of adventure they give you is so grand. You know, like, I am so bought in on the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I want to see the end. I want to hear the you know, next story Kratos is going to tell on the boat. You know, because I feel like the way they wrote these characters and the way they interact with each other is so good, is so real, how, you know, this father that hasn't been around his son for much of his life, you know, and a son losing his mother and like having to deal with basically this stranger raising you now is like, they do it so well.
Yeah. I was listening to you. I forgot my next point. were any of you guys getting a Never-Ending Story vibe from this? And what I mean is like just every visual that you come across, and we're just talking about the beginning of the game. I really don't want to spoil this for anyone. And plus, I'm not that far myself. But based on what we find, you know, I've seen gigantic beasts and really cool, just awesome spectacles. And
dude, that snake is so cool.
Oh, the snake and the noise. I'm just saying, Never-Ending Story is really what flashes into my mind. The mocap on this game is fantastic. Mm-hmm. They move so realistically. Oh, I remember my point that I was going to say. It's interesting to see your main character, Kratos, also not know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire game. It's just like, what is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And the way he, like, uses Atreus to, like, read things and, like, translate for him is pretty cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not the whole, like, escort mechanic that's usually a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest worry was that you were just going to feel tied down and like, falling behind constantly because you have a partner with you. But I've felt that he's totally fluid in the combat and everything, not in an annoying way, which I was really afraid of. So I was really impressed of how that the boy ties into the gameplay and doesn't feel like a burden on you at all.
That's a great point. He's not only in the story, but he's in the gameplay. Atreus is your bow.
Yeah.
And like the thing that I was really worried about, that like there's no mechanic like that at all in the game, is like the boy doesn't have a health bar at all. Like,
right.
Don't ever have to worry about him. You know, in all the time that I've put into it so far, there's been like one or two times where I've had to like go save him, but it was all story related.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, in fights, he'll get snatched up, which, you know, we'll get to in a little bit. In fights, he'll get snatched up. But again, that's just another thing to deal with in these fights.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another element of the fight. His movement, both the main characters and your summon, your boy, their movements are very believable, very well done. I'm not coming across nearly any frame rate issues and no loading screens.
Yeah, like that's where the whole immersion just, it's so hard to peel yourself away from it just because there's no stopping point.
Yeah, you just go. Like, how do they do this? It's pretty cool. There's no loading before a cutscene, and it's not even clear when that's going to happen. Not that it's bad. Like, I kind of like running through an area, like, you know, in these Dark Souls games. You go through it, you get to a big, big, big room, and you're like, this is where it's going to go down.
Yeah.
You know? But this game doesn't do that. It just flows. You're walking, flows into a cutscene, flows into battle, or whatever it is next. And very impressed by no loading screens.
Yeah, they hide that loading real well. I mean, you know, there's times when you go around a corner and, you know, you've got to crouch under something and it takes 10 or 15 seconds to walk through it. And, like, you know they're just hiding the load there. Mm-hmm. But they add a little banter. There's a little story nugget there. You don't even notice it. And then you're fighting a huge ogre. You know, like, it just like you said, the flow, the pacing is so well, like, so well done. It's been a lot of fun to play.
I want to use the word crafted. And, you know, we're lingering a lot on the look and the story right off the bat. But normally these are the things that cut a game down for me. And, you know, I'm usually more into the combat and whatever this game is trying to do. You take something like Watch Dogs. Control the city with a cell phone. That's interesting. That's an interesting hook. You know, use whatever. And then a lot of the other stuff just kind of... And granted, this is not the same developer, but a lot of that other stuff, just kind of the story, everything just kind of fell to the wayside. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings that game down in my mind. But this one, it's up front. I'm actually into it, which is what I've been looking for, that great solo experience.
Yeah.
So the main point of God of War is to do what you do. And so the main loop of this game is to fight things.
Yeah.
Fight them.
Fight and puzzles. Those are like the two things that you're up to.
Yeah, I miss prepper stashes, but that's okay.
Did
guys? Yeah, I don't know where to start.
See Kratos in a prepper stash.
We got to talk about the fighting. First, I'm going to say this. You're not really going to get a Souls comparison out of me. I know that was kind of like a big deal for their marketing and such, but I'm not seeing it as much. I think it's more of a statement of saying we're looking at difficulty without trying to make it hard. This approach are too hard.
Well, I think they wanted to move away from the style of combat they had in the first few games because it was real button mashy and combo based and, you know, just kind of wild arcade action. Whereas, you know, this one has a very like detailed skill tree and moveset and like, you know, switching stances in the middle of fighting. But
you still keep that wildness and that ferocity, but they somehow do it at this drastically slower pace.
Yeah,
that works.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sorry to cut you off there, Scott.
No. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a lot of fun. You know, it. I think it feels more like a Darksiders game or a Devil May Cry. You know, sure. Kind of arcade. You know, you're juggling enemies. You got your axe flying around, hitting multiple people. You know, you're using your boy to stun enemies with the bow off screen. It's frenetic, but there's a deepness to like learning your moves and like how to use your runic attacks and stuff that I think is really satisfying.
It's not quite builds that you can really characterize it, but with the kind of customization that you have in Cheetos with his skills and then I can't help it with his skills and abilities, you upgrade these. You also upgrade the abilities via your shield and your axe. And your boy. But these change your moves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really settle into a set that works out for you.
Yeah, like I know all three of us are probably like going at different, you know, ways. You know, personally I've done everything just like high damage, you know, and it feels good to get in there and smash around. But like this morning I came across a boss who was kind of just not having it. And like I had to kind of switch things up a little bit. And, you know, I was like all range. And it was very weird to play a whole different style of game.
Mm. And when you get through them, you feel like you did it with your wits.
Right.
You know, it's not just press square, jump, double jump, triple jump, press square, press square, press square. You know, it's really slowed down. You got to think it through.
So what difficulty is everybody at?
I started up with... Give me a balanced journey, I think it's called. Give me a balanced adventure. Mm-hmm. But then ticked it up one. Give me a challenge.
Yeah, I started on the default one, and that's where I'm at currently.
Yeah, I went to 11. That's
I still don't know why, but...
Yeah, I'm playing on God of War mode. Or this is God of War.
This is God of War, yep. That's it. And didn't find out until recently the differences in these...
It's rough.
This difficulty.
It's so rough.
Well, with the first three, you can change as you go throughout the game, but if you start in God of War mode, it warns you. You know, you're there.
Yeah, so I can't turn my difficulty down, which is fine. I didn't intend to. And one of the big differences in this God of War mode is the enemies will actually, like, if you damage them, roughly 20% of their health, they level up and get their health back, and they can't be staggered.
Good.
And they're way more aggressive.
That sounds fun. That sounds like a great experience.
Yeah. And I'm saying all this, and these guys are like, ah, how are you doing this? But I'm still having a blast.
No. We didn't say how. We said why.
Yeah.
Well,
just making that clear.
Sure.
We said why.
I'll make it clear. I'm saying how.
I'm definitely going at a slower pace because...
Yeah, this is going to take you like 700 hours to finish.
Yeah. I am dying a lot. but when I do complete like an area, it is rewarding because I have to be precise with everything. That feels really good to me because, you know, God of War used to be button mashers, like we said, but
yeah,
I have to have every single move precisely down to get through it. But I don't know. I'm having fun with it. Trying to get that platinum trophy.
There are various levels of difficulty for the enemies, and they show you through the color of their health bar.
Mm-hmm.
Are they like purple at the beginning of the game for you?
All that I see is purple.
Gross.
Gross. Everything's purple.
Nope, 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 nope.
Yeah.
Out the door. yeah, I just... Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You should do some streaming, man. So we and people can check this out. Some things with that combo that or with that combat that might help you out if you decide to do God of War mode. And maybe this is the only real connection that I'll draw with Dark Souls is, you know, Eagle had mentioned that this game is a little arcadey, you know, and mm-hmm. that shows in the sense that, like, if it gets too hard, remember, you get to keep your souls. You get constant help. Quick turn is love. Have you been using that quick turn button at all?
I actually haven't.
I worked it into pressing down on the left stick and clicking it.
Mm.
So he'll quick turn. Hmm. So that's some good stuff.
Actually, I think I should do that. Yeah, that sounds like a lot easier than the down on the D-pad.
Yeah, they have... I want to say they have three different ways you can do it. Maybe it's just two.
Yeah, it's
they
got its own little menu option.
Yeah, they have just a couple options for remapping buttons, which is good. I had to put my dodge to circle so that I could... my hands move correctly. How is it pairing? I feel the parry's a little off, but at the same time, I don't want to press a button just when a lightning bolt is above somebody's head either and get an automatic.
In what way do you think it's off?
Just like a little, the timing seems a little late. Like maybe my timing is off. Like I'm pressing it when the axe goes up in the air or not when the axe, when the weapon goes up in the air and I'll start swinging it. And I'll just get hit anyway.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's just kind of... Maybe I just have my various other games that I play with parries. We all know what they are. So maybe I'm just a little used to moving like them.
I definitely find myself dodging more than I find myself blocking.
I love the parry. It's epic in this game. If you know, and I pull them off, it's just like it would... You know, I find myself going, damn it! Like a lot.
maybe I'm used to parrying so much from the Souls games. Like I was telling people, like, if Dark Souls parry it has a window of timing, God of War is like a open door to me.
Yeah, maybe I'm just initiating it too early because I love parrying in those Souls games, and those are the sensibilities I'm trying to walk into with this. And I'll swing that shield, and then their hit comes just like maybe a quarter second later.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty relying on the parry right now.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. A lot of these enemies, which I'm sure they'll just get tougher. It's the only way to get breathing room. Is to interrupt them.
Yeah, I'm over here just chaining runic attacks. What shield?
But well, I mean, which is fine. But I also like how, you know, every single battle I approach can be different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, with this axe and with the arrows, you know, stun one with an arrow, throw your axe to freeze another guy while you deal with this one in front of you hand to hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little tricks like that.
Yeah.
And then I start kicking people off of ledges, and
totally.
I'm loving that.
Yeah.
And I was having I was having some problems with some people in a room with spikes above their heads. And it's like, how do I do this? And I get this idea, run out, and I don't want to spoil anything, dealt with them a different way than just fighting them.
Sure.
And that stuff, you know, I love that stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool ways to mix up your mechanics in combat. It's fun.
Yeah.
Did you guys just start throwing your axe as soon as you could when they gave it to you? Just kept throwing it.
I've been doing this thing just trying to see how far I can leave it behind. Like,
oh.
I did it! Oh, no way, dude! I've been doing that too. Like the longest pull. Does it reset every time you open a chest?
I'm not sure.
Do you have your axe in your hand? Because that's what I feel like. I haven't gotten a long callback because when you open a chest, I feel like you start with it again.
I've had some pretty good ones, like calling it back in the middle of a fight and just listening to it clang around on its way back to you.
I just have my hand out like, give it to me, come on.
It's so
like
good.
All these enemies are running at me, and finally it finds its way into their skulls. Dude, these puzzles are really clever.
I like them a lot.
Yeah,
they're very Tomb Raider-y.
I find them a little bit better too. They're very imaginative.
And, like, pretty I don't tricky. Know about you guys, but I haven't found myself get stuck on anything for, like, too long. I feel like the pace of him's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, you walk up to him, and you understand that it's a puzzle, but you can pretty much piece together what you need to do to complete them, but just the execution really is the hardest part. It's not like you're lost in them.
Yeah, and, you know, you walk up to a puzzle, and again, I don't want to spoil nothing, so you walk up to these puzzles, and you're looking at it, and then, I don't know, some of them I was like, I don't know what to do, but then you just kind of figure it out, and I don't make puzzles for people. I don't know how to do that. I don't own a jigsaw, but I figure it'd be pretty tough to, like, just create such a smooth experience of challenge with no frustration, you know, like, obscure frustration from just having things be so covered.
Well, they have a good, like, crutch to lean on with the boy, too, because he, you know, will kind of softly hint at things, you know, when you're milling around an area too long.
I do feel like, and I don't know, this, I'm probably wrong, but on a couple of puzzles that, like Brent said, you figure them out, and then the challenge is to actually execute them. So there was one that I was kind of stuck on, and I feel like they made it easier after a few attempts by kind of changing up the combinations of things, and I wonder if that's a mechanic in the game. But I have no other evidence of that.
I think I know what you're talking about, and yes, I have. I think they've given me the chicken hat once or twice.
Yeah, the four pillars with the paddles?
Yes.
Yeah, did that feel like it changed?
Like, it changed. Like, I feel like I learned the mechanic after it kind of almost solved it for me. Like, oh
yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Guys, it didn't change. You guys changed.
Excellent. Oh, man. And speaking of you guys, man, I miss y'all in this game. There's no multiplayer. There's no interconnectivity between people. And that kind of sucks. But at the same time, I wouldn't want God of War Battle Royale.
Yeah. Right. Like, I feel like if you had your partner emoting on the beach, yelling Sheva over and over again, like, it might lose some of its, you know, natural... You know, depth, I guess.
Like somebody controls Cheetos and somebody controls the boy, and it's like a boy out.
Oh, no.
A god out.
Like, but yeah, hold square to no play friends. Catch with your son.
Yeah. There's no multi or friend interaction other than the high fives by the water cooler in the morning the next day.
Totally.
And, you know.
It fits for.
Yeah, I'd rather them not shoehorn anything in like that. And this game seems pretty big. So, you know, I'm cool. I just haven't talked to you guys this week at all.
It's real. Dude, the party has been empty.
Dude, I feel bad for Selly. I feel bad for Guest Carry Alive. I feel bad for... Well, I don't feel bad for them, but I miss them. Because I have just not been on the Xbox at all.
Same.
So that's, testament to how awesome this game
is. It's great.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised.
And a good amount of difficulty, too. As of the end of the day on release, I looked through some of the achievements, and besides the progression trophies that I had that were in the 98%, nearly, and I don't know what they are as of today, we're recording, nearly all of them were in the ultra rare.
Yeah.
As far as progression through the rest of the story. So everybody is hacking their way through this game at kind of the same pace.
That's 0.1% on a lot of those trophies.
Well, I mean, it's always kind of like foreshadowing when you get a game, you know, and then day two you look at the achievements and, you know, the platinum of the trophies is already achieved the next day.
Yeah.
You know, to me it kind of foreshadows like, oh, this might be like a 10-hour experience.
Right.
And I truly believe anybody who has the platinum are reviewers that's had this game for weeks.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be because they control your pace so much.
Totally.
All right. Well, what do y'all see? We've given a lot of praises. Do y'all have any weaknesses?
The only
that you've seen come out of you yet?
The only times when I've kind of like not even rolled my eyes, but, you know, kind of been like, all right, you know, there's a, this is a video game ass video game. Like, you are pushing circle a lot to do interactions. You know, you can't fall off the map. You can't miss jumps. You know, there's no control over your character in those moments. But I feel overall it keeps the immersion like pretty well. Like, it keeps you in there.
Yeah, I could kind of see that with, you know, the gaps that you have to jump over and such that, you know, like, why put a gap there? You know, is it like a little baby one-button puzzle?
Yeah.
What you have to do? But I think they use that to kind of make good use of space.
Sure. And, you know, yeah. I think overall it's done very well. There are, like, some minor gripes with that stuff.
I think the threat indicators could be a little better, and I don't even necessarily know how or like what that would look like, but I don't know. I feel like I lose them in combat and kind of can't pay attention to them as well as I want to.
I figured on this as God of War, you would just constantly be surrounded by a red circle, a complete red circle.
No. I mean, that's kind of what it is where I'm at. Like, it's like my whole screen is just threat indicators.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, overall, it's really good.
Yeah. Only real weaknesses, and again, these are very, very trivial. It's just, I just want to be fair about stuff, is more confusion. I'm unlocking shortcuts, and it kind of makes me wish that there was like some kind of like bonfire type of thing, or, you know, uniform checkpoint kind of thing to justify this. I just don't understand yet why I'm opening shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the game has you go back to revisit areas a lot.
And I understand that. That's already started kind of happening, and they do it very well, by the way, as you know, they make it a different experience. But yeah, not to cut you off there. I just still like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, and they give you your quote unquote bonfire equivalents with your shops and your those fast travel gates.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, that's the only real weakness that I have, is just a little bit of confusion over things that I'm pretty sure are going to be made clear.
I mean, 10 out of 10.
Really, 10 out of 10 for you, bud?
Dude, I'm loving it. I'm really, really, I guess not even really surprised, because like the hype was pretty real for me. I'm just super impressed with this game. I don't know. I think they delivered a really, really nice product, and they should really be proud of this game.
I would be very curious to see a female's perspective on this, because I feel like this is really tilted towards like boys and dads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is pretty glaring. That, like, I'll go a little bit further. Like with the content and the things that they say, I feel like this game is kind of pointed at men in their 30s. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just saying based on, I guess, the general male experience.
Sure.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of my butt, but you know, it definitely has a lot of points that are trying to get the man mist out of people. You know, the those little tears. Oh, I got a little man mist. I'm not crying. But yeah, dads and sons.
Yeah.
As far as strengths, I just have a couple things that I want to say. I love how when I get wrecked, my controller goes red.
Yeah, yeah.
The line, I'm digging that. You know, I looked down at my controller after I die, and it's just like, don't look at me, dude. Like, I'm red.
How could you miss? It's just glaring in my TV.
The first encounter... And this might be a little bit of a spoiler. The Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah, he's really cool.
Awesome.
I like his tattoos.
Thank you for not giving me a gigantic 5-minute long exposition dump in video at the beginning of this game. Thank you for letting me start not knowing what's going on and then giving me those little bites as we go.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm more in it as opposed to trying to catch up to something.
Right.
Like I sat down in a movie halfway through. That's kind of what I have as far as strengths. Nothing really like on the technical side for anybody, unfortunately. Nah.
I mean, you really just have to jump in there and play it. I don't know, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you have PS4, buy this game.
Yeah, definitely recommend it to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, man. We've sung its praises for a little while here at the cost of sounding repetitive. Does anybody else have anybody they want to throw in?
Nah. It smells like Game of the Year to me.
It is a strong contender.
Yeah, it jumped to the top of the lists like really quick.
This is great. Not for long though. When Dark Souls Remastered comes out, I'm just playing. Just everybody, calm down. Oh, my computer is smoking. Oh, stop it.
Push it.
Well, we were talking a little bit about campaigns and story modes earlier, as well as in God of War. We brought up Black Ops, and we asked I asked a question. How important is a campaign to Call of Duty players? In the light that Black Ops 4 might be just completely omitting one.
Yeah, man. Like, this was kind of like the crux of why Overachievers was started. You know, it was, mm-hmm. you know,
the numbers, Eagle.
What do they mean?
It's not started for Call of Duty, just so everybody knows. It's to answer these trend-based questions.
Yeah, it was started because, honestly, it was when I played Battlefield 1 and saw that less than 10% of people had finished the campaign. Like,
yeah, I remember that episode. Sure.
Yeah, it was just, crazy. Like, shocking to me that, like, the one of the coolest parts of this game, like, 90% of people didn't even see.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, with all the talk this week about Black Ops 4 not doing a campaign and the rumors swirling around that, for Overachievers this week, I figured it would be interesting if I pulled all the achievements for campaign completion through the whole series of Call of Duty.
All of them.
All
of them. So these are achievements for you've completed the blah, 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 blah campaign.
On normal. Like the easiest way to complete the campaign.
Okay.
So I guess we'll start kind of back in the way, way back of Call of Duty 2. So I pulled the achievements for this, and it's sitting down at 25.39%. Call of Duty 3 up at 25.67%. After that, sure. We have Modern Warfare, which is the highest of all of the Call of Duty games.
As far as people completing it?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is at 37.75%.
So a little over a third of the players on Xbox of, I don't want to say the most popular of the franchise, but maybe the one that started this modern trend in the way that they release them and make them now, is definitely a turning point for the series.
Totally. Yes.
Just a little over a third.
Yep.
Went through the whole campaign that was offered in that game.
Yeah, and so I looked ahead at the remastered version of Modern Warfare that came out recently, down at 13.26%.
Jeez.
Oh.
Like, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll move on a little bit. Up at World at War, that is at 30.29%. Modern Warfare 2 up at 36.51%, the second highest out there. So yeah. Modern Warfare franchise, definitely the highest running. Then we had the original Black Ops at 27.94%. Ghosts dipped down to 23.17%.
I don't think I've met anybody that liked Ghosts.
I literally forgot that was a thing until you just said that.
Ghost was all right. It had a cool honey badger gun with a built-in silencer. That's about all.
They don't give a fuck.
So then we had Modern Warfare 3 at 33.75%. Black Ops 2 is down at 26.57%. Advanced Warfare at 29.25%.
Was that the one where they got Spacey?
Yes.
Okay.
You had Black Ops 3 at an abysmal 8.17%.
Whoa! Ooh. This was big when it was coming out.
Yeah, this is the one with the dude from Law & Order. What's his name? Mahoney.
Yeah, and they had that Rolling Stones song for all of its trailers.
Love it.
Yeah.
But then so at Infinite Warfare, lowest of the series, down at 5.16%.
5% ignored half of their game.
Whew. And then finally, we've got the current incarnation of World War II at 22.36%.
And this is what just came out.
Yep.
The top selling game of 2017?
I believe so.
So nothing goes really above a third of the crowd over the past, what is this span? 12 years? Something like that of 10 years of these games.
Yeah,
I'm looking
longer
at
than
it,
that.
Trying to, yeah. Only a third seemed to be interested in the campaign.
And yeah, so it's pretty telling that like a lot of time is not spent in this campaign.
And yeah, so for all of us talking, go ahead, Brent.
In my opinion, some of these campaigns are really, really good.
some of the best in gaming, like some of the best stories in gaming in my, well, for a short experience, because most of these are under 15 hours.
Yeah. But like, some of these I've had like my favorite moments and campaigns in these games, and that's just blowing my mind. Especially 5%. That is insane.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know about from the perspective of a Call of Duty player, but we asked before how important the campaign is, and we have the numbers right here. We have the proof, and it seems to not be as important to Call of Duty players.
Well, yeah, I think this just backs up the whole vocal minority concept, right? You know, the people on the forum boards, the, you know, the reviewers and journalists, you know, that are not necessarily forced, but interested in playing the full package, as opposed to, it seems, the average consumer just buying it for multiplayer or just buying it for zombies.
Yeah.
But so I guess it's not surprising that the focus isn't behind the campaign experiences anymore.
Wow. Maybe it's a new approach, money well spent somewhere else that could be fantastic, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But man, so, that truly makes me sad, though, if the newest Call of Duty that's going to come out isn't going to have a campaign, that doesn't make me feel good. I don't know.
Well, here's the campaign. You're a soldier. You get dropped with no weapons and no armor.
100 other soldiers are writing their story today.
I don't know, man. That's just not a trend I want to see happen. I don't know.
Well, so here's the one thing that gives me hope. God of War.
Sure.
Like, that is a fully single-player experience. Like, nothing multiplayer, no microtransactions, like, nothing of the sort.
Yeah.
No God of War Al or whatever. You know, it's sad to see Call of Duty moving towards this more games of a service motion, but you know, who knows? Like, nobody plays the campaign. Like, less than a quarter of people in almost all the games.
Yeah.
Do you think Call of Duty will start being $5 a month for one thing forever, or $10 a month?
You know, I think the Call of Duty platform is coming. I just don't know how. But I think a subscription service for just Call of Duty that's constantly updated is probably the way they should go.
Yeah.
You know, doing this with y'all over the last little over a year now and being exposed to all this information, you know, we have our opinions on stuff, games that have come out with no campaign in the past that I'm sure we've meowed about and everything. It just goes to show that nobody's really got it down. There are different approaches for everything. And, like, one thing that we got up in arms about not having a story or not having a multiplayer might work completely well, depending on the execution for something else.
Sure.
That is fascinating. Well, thank you very much, Eagle. Every week, overachievers, we got those numbers, Mason, and we know what they mean.
We do. Nobody plays campaigns in Call of Duty.
Yeah. Why would they? You know? Well, tweet us. Tweet us. Tell us if you do. We'll give you a high five emoji. But thank you very much, Eagle. Every single week, overachievers is a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this Black Ops Battle Royale thing is going to actually look like.
I'm not. I'm really not.
Oh, man. Guys, Noob Guard is calling my name.
Dude, it's real.
Chump Guard. Chumpelheim is where I'm from. And there's some things that need cleaving out there, so we're probably going to start winding this down. Thank you very much for all listeners out there. We appreciate you. Please help us get more by telling a buddy. You found us. Tell them you can find them on. Tell your friends you can find us on Google Play, iTunes, on the website itself. That's edgystances.com. Remember that Dark Souls giveaway. Sign up, follow us, leave a comment, get thrown in the hat.
Boom.
And and I'm Rattle Boy Al. That's where you can find me streaming.
And I'm Best Eagle Alive. You can find me on pretty much anything with that.
Well, the only thing I'm going to be on for the foreseeable 700 hours, according to Eagle, is on my PS4, and that's The Elder Crow. Hit me up on there.
Heck yeah. Hit us up everywhere. Let us know your thoughts on God of War. And have a good week, y'all. Remember, stay amber.
Goodbye.
Have the best day you've ever had.
Boy. We'll be right back.